This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. It is now time for the MGoBlog Roundtable, which is brought to you by Homeshore Lending. If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go, Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds blue, and so does his family.
So I have a collection at home, by the way. Welcome back to the MDN Studios here on the Michigan Insider. Sam Webb, I rewind, travel on the other side of the glass. You know, for years, the 9 o'clock hour. The MCO Blog Roundtable, all of these years. Now, I've had issues. I have a stack of Hail to the Victors over the years, right? Collection.
Right.
Have those archived. I've never had a stitch of MCO Blog paraphernalia. Never. I've never had one all these years. It's my guy, Brian.
Yeah.
Love his sight. You know, love his wit, his commentary. Very supportive of Brian Cook. I've never had a stitch of MCO Blog garb.
Now you're wearing him on your chest, Sam.
And we all are.
So
we all have screaming Brian Cook heads on our chest.
I finally feel like I'm getting the proper respect at this radio station.
Yeah, we all have our MGo Blog shirts.
It's a special one, man.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 5 years for this piece of clothing.
So you guys complain about this all the time, and I mean, everybody else manages to fill out the form correctly and get the things mailed to them.
All right, Craig has an excuse. Craig's kind of a Luddite. I don't know what Ed's excuse is.
My excuse.
But you have a phone. You do have a phone now, right? You do have, like, you text now, right? Don't you?
No.
You still don't text.
No.
All right, so clearly whose fault is this, right? Like, you just had to go to the website and put your address in, and then you'd be fine. Because these Neanderthals couldn't manage it. I got crap for years and years about it.
And Craig is part Neanderthal.
3% Neanderthal.
I know.
You consider yourself a Cro-Magnon, one of the beautiful people, I know, but no.
Well, hail to Seth.
Yeah, hail to Seth for sure.
Thanks, Seth.
You can always tell when you got Brian. He'll get a slight, like, plum tinge to his skin. You know, you got him. You get that blush coming out. It's like, we got him. We got him this time.
Well, we got to post a picture of this, too, because, the font is priceless.
I've been got.
Yeah, you've been got. All right, so guys, look, it's Rutgers, so you feel like, and then Michigan destroyed them like they're supposed to. For a lot of people, there's really nothing to talk about. It was Rutgers on to the next opponent. But to me, you look back at it, there were some things in that contest that were noteworthy offensively, mostly. And when I look back at it, it was how they game plan to get Shea comfortable. Beyond it being Rutgers, beyond saying simple stuff like, run the football, and, block better. As a matter of play call, they made a concerted effort to get Shea comfortable in this game.
Yeah, so they gave him a lot of half-field reads where he's good at that. Hit Bell deep, he hit Black pretty deep on Waggles. And that's something that not every quarterback can do, especially the Black one, because he's rolling out away from his throwing arm.
Yeah,
he's able to get square, and he hits Black right in the number. So that's, Shea does have some pretty top-notch talents, and Michigan did a better job of taking it.
Yeah, and the thing that I didn't appreciate quite as much, the other thing I noticed, and I know you guys noticed it too, I mean, they scaled back in their, in their zone regain. The RPOs were scaled back in this game significantly.
Yeah, there were almost no pulls in the game. A couple, one at the goal line for walk-in.
Those weren't pulls. Those were just naked bootlegs.
Right.
So there was no zone regain. Mm-hmm. And then, one of the interesting things I thought is when Milton came in, the way kind of the Red Sea parted on Rutgers defense,
mm-hmm.
not because Milton even had to keep, but because Rutgers had to treat him like he was going to keep. And before that, there was no pretense from either team that Shea Patterson was. And then that's when you see Haskins going off the backside for 17 yards pretty good. And to beat teams like Iowa and Michigan State, they're going to have that run game back. So yeah.
Present the quarterback as a run threat. In the pass game, and this is what I did not have an appreciation for until Borges got his hands on the copy, and he said, "Look at their route concepts." And he said, "Look, man, they ran three or four route concepts the entire game, over and over and over again, and really didn't deviate from it. I'm talking about their pocket stuff." And you know, there's something to be said for a team that has struggled to do anything positive consistently, to give them something that they can rep over and over and over again, to get confident in that, so down the line you can maybe layer off of that, you can build off of that.
The basketball analogy may be imperfect, but when you had Jordan Morgan and Darius Morris, how many pick and rolls did they run? Mm-hmm. Over and over and over and over. And it worked over and over and over and over. There's always something better about doing one or two things really well than doing a lot of things not very well.
Right. And, I'm under no illusion. See, I guess for me, now I don't take that to mean that you can be that for against every team all the way down the line. I think you're gonna have to, you know, add some layers of complexity to it. But man, how many weeks did we talk about? What do they do? What do they do? Yeah. What do they do well? Right? That's been what have they Nico done Collins. Well? What have they done well for a game? And there was nothing until this point. So to give them something to start with, to say, okay, we do this really, really well. We know they're comfortable with this. Got that in our back pocket. Now let's try to build off of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Mike Leach has made a career out of simplifying routes for his receivers. So it's not like it can't work more. I mean, I'm not against introducing a little bit more complexity into it as well. But, you know, especially if it simplifies things for Shea and it makes him get the ball out quicker.
I think that's the most – I think that was it. I think that was the – I don't think it was about the receivers as much as it was about Shea.
Well, and I think it was about – the pass protection as well.
That so too.
I had Michigan at something like 90%. And when they weren't picking up the scattered minuses they did pick up, it's not like anyone was even in the building. Like, Shea didn't have a pocket. He had an acre.
Right.
And so that's
he got hit once in the first half.
That's a situation where he's able to stay in the pocket and he doesn't have happy feet and he's not making kind of difficult decisions on a down-to-down basis about, like, whether he should stay or go. And so he still has to, like, prove mm-hmm. that's something that he can do, and we've got 15, 16 games of evidence that it's like, it's not a great strength for him. So that's still an open question, you know, but when he's in that kind of situation, yeah, he deals. And one thing that we did see, for the first time this year, is they threw some fades. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that second touchdown where they have a third and long and they're just like, all right, let's just punt it up to DPJ and see what happens. He's excellent at that throw. And it's really frustrating that we haven't seen him throw it for much of his career. And they had the interception against where Collins and left it short. Everybody on Twitter was like, that's fine, keep doing that. I have never seen people take an interception in stride. Yeah. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
I noticed that on our board, too. We did have someone complain about it, and there were like 30 people were like, shut up!
Get the heck. Yeah, and I also want to say that I would not just dismiss it as Rutgers. I feel like I made the mistake going in the Wisconsin game saying Wisconsin played nobody and blow them out. And I'm the one who did the research that shows, like, if you obliterate teams, that's what good teams do. They put up huge margin of victories against bad teams. Now we have to balance that all with the rest of the season, and it's tough to know exactly where this Michigan team is overall. You know, and we're looking at 3.5-point favorite against Iowa this week. But, you know, you put something into that. I mean, Rutgers, by adjusted yards per play, they have a better defense than Middle Tennessee right now. So I don't think we completely dismiss it as Rutgers.
One of the curiosities of the game for me was that I thought, after watching the game, the Michigan offensive line was pretty good. I was really happy with the offensive line play. And then on Sunday, I looked at the Pro Football Focus grades, and they're terrible. I mean, except for Mayfield, who graded out above average, everyone else was way below average on their grades. And then I went back and looked at the tape, and I just didn't see it. I mean, like Brian said, the pass protection was really good. Mayfield blew one, I think, on the edge. And otherwise, they were good. And so then I read...
How did it break down passing versus rushing? Because I feel
they don't break it down.
They don't publish that.
They don't, or at least they don't
publish it. Well, at least Rivals doesn't publish it.
And then yesterday, last night, I read Brian's UFR, and he graded the offensive line out mostly pretty good.
So on my in my system, you need like a 2-to-1 positive ratio to actually be good. It's not like if you're like zero, you did okay. Zero, you did pretty badly. So I thought that Ruiz and Bredesen kind of had tough days because they're running this zone stuff, and there are a lot of plays where Ruiz doesn't actually end up hitting anybody, and that's a problem. So there's just this kind of hesitation where you're seeing a huge focus on Michigan getting off the first level and getting to a linebacker, even when there's no linebacker to get to because Rutgers has shifted or whatever. So there are a couple of plays where, you know, it's a zone stretch and Charbonnet gets 4 yards, but if Ruiz feels a guy who's slanting to him and stops and picks that guy off, then he might get a big play. So I kind of feel like we're talking earlier about how they don't have one thing that they just do really well. So in this game, they ran power, they ran inside zone, they ran outside zone, with like the big three rushing plays. And usually as a team, if you're trying to do all of that, you're not good at any of it. So
I talked to Ed Warner about this very thing last year. He is adamant that you don't have to be outside zone or inside zone power, that you can accomplish all three. It's about being situational about the team that you do it against, or the look that you do
it
against.
Well, you got to have one that you're really good at, and then when you run outside zone and you're not good at it, it's okay because it's unexpected. And in this game, Michigan kind of went through all three of the main base plays that rushing offenses use, and they just didn't look super comfortable at any of them.
Now, but to your point, I want to make it clear. It was, who did I talk to about it? Norv Turner's kid. Scott Turner, okay. That was here, and he was on the you can't be proficient at all.
Yeah.
You know, outside zone and then inside zone power. You're most of the inside zone power are married, so you could be really really good at that, or you could be a zone team. You know, you could be a full zone team and do that. But to do all of that, and be proficient at it, I don't think you can do that. Ed is of a different mind, so it's not like coaches are all in agreement about that.
I'm more in the Turner camp, obviously. And then the thing that, you know, you just look at the kind of stuff that they're doing, even like disregarding the fact that they're running into a lot of stack boxes without a quarterback run game.
Right.
Just even beyond that, you know, you're looking at, I think it kind of feels like a regression from last year when it seems like they really had a handle on what they were trying to do. And this year, I don't know if Gattis, so there's different ways to play an inside zone and an outside zone, right? Like there's teams that focus on, all right, we really got to get the first level blocked, and then what comes with the linebackers will come with the linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan is not doing that. Michigan is not really having those like scoop blocks where you're trying to double a guy and get him sealed away like Rich Rodriguez preferred. And it's frustrating to me because when you're playing these linebacker games and your center is releasing and he has no one to hit, to me, they're successfully interpreting what you're doing and gaming it successfully.
You know, I also think that, you know, some of this is about repetition for the backs too, because there are a couple of outside zone plays that I felt like the backs just stretched too much.
I mean, there's one that I thought Turner could cut up.
Yeah. It was a Turner play. Yeah.
Yeah. That was another situation where you have no backside double and you have a defensive tackle running down the line, and it kind of looks like I understood why he pushed it to the sideline, even though I thought that he should have taken the cut. And in general, I actually like what Charbonnet and Turner are doing on the stretch plays, and just kind of in general. Like Charbonnet almost had one where he was able to like get past that second level block and get a big play, and it's just like, oh, I just couldn't quite do it.
Ankle grab, yeah.
In fact, I thought the Charbonnet and Turner both had really good games. I mean, I thought they got a lot out of what was there for them to get, and even later Haskins to some extent.
Haskins had a lot easier job.
He had
job.
An easier time because there was more space for him. But
yeah, I mean, Turner was able. There was that one stretch where he, like, four different guys tried to tackle him, and he got 10 yards, and it was like,
all right. And he had that touchdown run.
Yeah, where he gets stuck by the safety at the four and just keeps going. Like, that's...
There were some positives. There were some positives in there.
I think Michigan's top two running backs are actually doing very well. And, you know, if they can reincorporate the quarterback run game, I think you'll see at some point they're going to break out because they're both players.
What time is it? All right, so how about this? Let's get to a break. We'll come back and talk defense. And really, I mean, I think we're talking about Cam McGrone.
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about Cam McGrone. Cam McGrone. You know, Al, he got a little angry with me.
Why?
Because I kept saying.
You talk about mobile screen? They threw one.
They threw one.
You know who's not going to wear M Go Blog shirt? I know who's not going to wear M Go Blog shirt.
We do an interview back in the day, man. He lost the site.
I kept saying Cam McGrone. He said, shut up, Sam. You sound like a fan. I said, Al? I mean, come on, man. Look at the dude. Jim Harbaugh said this guy's going to be a star.
No.
So there you go. We gotta get to a break.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider. It's time for more of the M. Global Roundtable here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. It's brought to you by Homeshore Lending. If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go, Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds blue, and so does his family.
And we're back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios with the MGO Blog Roundtable. I didn't even introduce you guys this week. I just went right into talking about this snazzy new shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. I have Brian Cook from MGO Blog.
We all look like Brian Cook. We're all bozos on this bus.
Lucky, aren't you?
Got Brian Cook from MGO Blog. We have Craig Ross, who has written some football books and has another one kind of coming, right?
It's done. I don't know what Seth's doing.
He's probably editing it.
He's editing it.
Well, what is it about?
It's about a history of Michigan football, but football in general, but more Michigan football prior to 1900,
gotcha.
Which is weird.
Okay.
I mean, it's just weird stuff.
Craig Ross selling it again.
All right. And then we have Ed Fang from the Power Rank, powerrank.com. Ed, tell folks about the Power Rank.
I use data to make more accurate football predictions for college football, NFL. I have a podcast called The Football Analytics Show where we talk about these things, and I have guests, and I talk to you guys.
There you go.
This is awesome.
All right, so, fellas, defense, Cam McGrone. I mean, Quiddy Pay was the player of the game,
it was good to see
Quiddy coming off that Wisconsin game just go out and have a bounce back effort. And I know it was Rutgers. I know he faced a backup for a good period of time. I really don't care. He was a guy that I thought needed to have a good taste back in his mouth. He was able to achieve that in this game.
Yeah, context is important, obviously, when you're talking about getting pass rush against Rutgers. McGrone, I think, was a little bit more opponent invariant. So if you're coming off and you're blitzing, and I'm like, wow, that guy's shot out of a cannon. That's Bush. Like, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. He had some good instances in coverage. There was they tried to dump it off to a running back, and he gave him no window at all. So he was able to attack half a guy and get pressure. Pretty good against the run. A guy who made a statement. And with Ross in a boot and kind of hasn't been that great when he's out there. We've been one of the kind of disappointments of the season. Yeah, I think the door is open.
Yeah, I thought Mike, other good things in this game, I thought Dana had his best game as a Michigan player. Again, might be opponent related, but he did. And Dax Hill got 29 snaps in, and I think they were pretty good. He made one spectacular play were out in the flat where he threw off.
That should have been blocked pretty well.
Yeah,
and he just
slipped him.
Yeah, he slipped
Well, really. And don't forget the punt coverage.
I mean that was
tackle he made.
When that ball hopped up and you're the punt returner there, you're like, oh come on, you know you're gonna get obliterated because you're just standing there forever, but you gotta do it because. Otherwise. You're down 31-0, and
yeah, they you know, nice way to free him up off the line, so you give CP and Jay credit for that. You got a guy shot out of a cannon in Dax Hill. He might be the fastest guy on the team. I'm sure you know Ambry would challenge that, but I mean the dude just, I've said it before, athletes at the safety position, I can't think of one that Michigan. Michigan has recruited that's a better athlete than
even Jabril,
than Daxon Hill.
I mean, if you consider that he finally.
Well, he was more of a linebacker here.
Yeah, but. And I would say yes, that Daxon Hill is a superior athlete.
Huh? Oh.
He's a taller player, and I like to see him in a race.
Sure.
I'd like to see him in a race, but, you know, I think Dax might have him by a step. So half step anyway.
I got a couple questions for Brian. One, Dwumfor got 23 snaps. To me, it looked like a pretty good 23 snaps.
Yeah,
what
he
do you
had,
think about that?
He had one excellent interior pass rush, which is something that Michigan has badly missed. And then there were a couple of moments on the ground where he looked decent or maybe good and got to take the opponent in context, but it felt just a lot better with him available.
And the other on the other side, Glasgow seemed to struggle in a couple times,
three times at least.
And I don't know.
Well, you know, he's a running back at Blackshear, but he's really a slot receiver. And when Glasgow was at Viper, like Don Brown was pretty clear that his coverage was kind of an issue, much less of an issue at weak side linebacker. The kind of offense that Rutgers runs, where it's just like all short stuff to slot receivers, doesn't play into his strengths. I mean, he's a hard-nosed guy who moves forward and hits guys in the run game. Mm-hmm. He had some issues tackling.
Yeah, people point to the one where he got rubbed and, you know, on the crossing route, and then there was a little over pursuit and the guy cut inside.
Yeah, he may have broke his ankles, right? Yeah. So that stands out as not great.
Right.
So, I mean, he's been very, very good in all the other contexts of being a weak side linebacker. That's not a strength. I think it'll not be a strength going forward, but is it going to be as exploited in this game as previously?
Is it plausible? I don't know what Ross's midterm availability is, but is it possible that he slides over to that position?
Yeah, it's
which
possible.
Is a position he's played before.
He played it before. Like, I think you know, that'll be an option going forward.
Nice to have some options, for sure.
I don't think we should, you know, necessarily dump on Glasgow, who's been one of Michigan's better defenders until this game, when he admittedly had a rough go.
He might lose the Army game without Jordan Glasgow.
He was
the guy at the goal line that kept him out of the end zone.
Well, and then the other thing is, you know, we had some issues defending mesh, and that's something that has been an issue since the Ohio State game last year, and you don't like to see that. I kind of... One of them was interesting, though, because you saw Mattels pop up on a hitch, and then it seemed clear that Michigan had two guys on one guy. So if that happens, someone messed up. I think it was probably Dax Hill, and that was actually a defense that was designed to beat mesh, but someone didn't get the play call right. So that's actually somewhat encouraging.
Yeah, I guess for me, the thing that they're going to have to, that Don Brown, that, you know, can't be when it comes to the linebacker position, they're gonna have to figure out is, okay, how do you keep Cam Grown on the field, and so is that putting Josh back over at the the wheel? Are you gonna split reps with him and Glasgow? Because you're right, you don't totally remove Glasgow from the equation, but some snaps are gonna get cut in favor of Cam Grown.
Yeah, and I mean, if Ross is out this week, then that's an easy solution.
Right, it's easy, right.
When he gets back, I think you'll see probably a rotation, and Ross will probably bounce between both spots, and I'd say equal reps for all of them.
Yeah, because I think Josh, when it comes to physicality in the middle of that defense, I think he's their most physical guy, and I think I like him. I like him as a zone backer, the man-to-man backer. I think they all have their limitations, except for Cam's only limitation is experience. But he has all the tools to be exceptional.
Well, and they're much more of a zone team this year. Like, they're playing off. They're too high a lot. And some of that is just the fact that they've played Middle Tennessee and Rutgers, who are just teams that are just trying to get the ball out so fast. So in those situations, it makes a lot of sense to just play cover two. Like that fourth and one where they dumped it off to the running back, where it's like, well, if this is man coverage, it'll work. It wasn't. It didn't look like man coverage pre-snap. I don't know what the thought process was there. I think the thought process for Sitkowski is often like, well, I didn't die on that play. That was a good play.
Yeah, you know, you could also tell, because there was one, we were going over the film. I was going over the film with Al yesterday. He's like, oh, this is, what kind of protection is this? Where, and you had Cam McGrone have a beeline. I mean, it's right in the line of sight of Sitkowski. And I said, well, in fairness to Rutgers, I'm not, you know, sticking up for, you know, their football IQs when it comes to protection. But they didn't see anything like Cam McGrone on tape before this. They had to be thinking, there's no one.
A couple snaps in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's no one that's going to be able to close this gap
that quickly.
That quickly. Yeah. And he's there in a in a snap. And no one can, no other linebacker on Michigan's roster can, as far as speed on the blitz, can is on par with what Cameron Grome brings to the table.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you file Uche as. Because in this game, they had a screen
that he,
where
yeah,
they didn't touch him. And it's like, I know that's like usually
now he's
the plan.
On film. Block that guy. Touch him at least.
Yeah, that was one of the things he did like as a sophomore. And yeah. I was like, that's kind of an eye-opener. He's against Maryland. So, yeah, he's explosive. He had a good game. Like, Pay's first sack was actually more of an Uche thing because he drove the left tackle all the way back into Sitkowski and he was going to throw the ball and then he couldn't because his base had been disrupted. And that gave Pay the time to get around the corner. So, like, I think every game he's out there, he's making plays and it's just how many snaps can you get him? And, I mean, I'd be looking at him as a weak side end. And just, like, if there's a four-man line out there and you got – I think he gets weak side end snaps. And it's – And if you want Hutchinson and Pay, I'm going to rotate those guys, and I'm just going to live with whatever run issues that creates because he's a player.
You know, for 10 years, I think, on this show or however long we've been doing it, we've been talking about the idea of putting two guys back on punt returns, which was something that happened that I used to see in the 50s. And they've done it the last game and maybe a bit more.
Yeah.
It seems to work out. It seems to be working out okay. You guys have any thoughts about that? I like it. I mean, the ball isn't landing on the ground. And
I like it particularly against spread punt systems because, you know, they're not going to block everybody up and run a fake on you necessarily. So, obviously, you can fake, but it's more about what you're doing than the fact that you've got two guys back. So, I think it's something... You know, there's going to be a punt safe where you're not able to do it, but yeah, I like it going forward. Yeah.
Well, all right, we need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will get into Iowa, an Iowa team that, you know, they're coming off a destroying Middle Tennessee State, an offense that initially, you know, the Fant to the NFL, Hockenson to the NFL, you're feeling like, hey, you know what, this squad is probably going to take a step back offensively. So far, it hasn't really looked that way. So we'll get into that on the other side.
Welcome back inside the MDN studios. Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. We are brought to you in part by the MDN. Our friend at the MDN yesterday had an event with Sarah Harbaugh, debuting the Sarah Harbaugh collection by Valiant, and is now available at the MDN. They've got a couple of three different jerseys to choose from, a sweatshirt, and then maize pants, and they're basically football pants, but they're turned into women's leggings as a part of the Sarah Harbaugh collection, now available, presented by Valiant with our friends at the MDN, the MDN of the Victors collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the ticket.
And we are back, folks, here at the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTK.com, Brian Cook, Ed Fang, Craig Ross. So Iowa, guys, the Hawkeyes off to a really good start. I don't know if I'm more surprised by how well the offense is performing or how little pass rush they're getting with their defense and AJ Epenesa, who's supposed to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, their defense has really kind of fallen off. It's kind of been surprising. So I'm interested to see what unit that we get in this side of the year, this game. They really shouldn't have beaten Iowa State.
Yeah, they won, what, 18-17 in that game?
Yeah, and got outgained pretty massively.
The perfect El Asico score.
Yeah, and like
and then
pretty
at the end of that game, they have a punt that they're punting to Iowa State, and another Iowa State guy gets run over, runs over the punt returner.
Doesn't give who I think is one of the best quarterbacks in the nation and Brock Purdy a chance to go down and get a field goal to win that game. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. When I watch Nate Stanley play, it doesn't give me the confidence of a guy that is going to beat you.
Mm-hmm. He's like the annual Big Ten West quarterback that Todd McShay inexplicably thinks is going to be a first-round pick. Not as inexplicable as Mitch Leidner, but still pretty weird. Who was the other one? Oh, it was Clayton Thorson last year.
Has he really said that about Nate Stanley? I know he said about Clayton Thorson.
I think so. I like, but like it's like 3 years in a row where he just picks some Big Ten West quarterback, and you're like, no, probably not. No. Nope.
Yeah, Nate Stanley, I soured on him last year. I said this before, soured on him last year in that Penn State game where he was just abysmal.
Well, I mean, he's got a couple of weapons that have come to the fore, like Amir Smith-Marset now seems like a pretty decent wide receiver. Obviously, when you got a hyphen on an Iowa wide receiver, he's going to be a guy.
I remember Kevontae Martin Manley. He was from Brother Rice, I believe.
Yeah, so and then they have a couple of tackles who are first-round pick worthy. Christian Wirfs is playing very well. I think Alaric Jackson's still out.
No, he's supposed to be back.
He's back for this game.
They list him as second on the depth chart, but from what I've heard, he's going to play.
I think that was always the plan when he first went out. It's like, back for Michigan.
So those guys are bookends, and they're just going to be Iowa. They're going to run zone at us. Michigan's going to have to defend zone. They're going to have to defend waggles. And it'll probably be fine. It'll be a slugfest. I'm more worried about the other side of the ball.
What is it about Iowa? Regardless of game is, who's coaching? What is it, 5 of the last 6, Ira?
Well, who's coaching? It's been Kirk Ferentz for the last 84 years.
I mean, on the Michigan side.
What about it?
Freaking Iowa, man.
Well, so one thing is that, you know, Kirk Ferentz saves up all his good decisions every year for this game. So you watch any other Iowa game.
He has like a finite number, right. 8 good decisions.
You watch any Iowa game, and he's punting from the plus 36 on 4th and 2, and you're like, you are a dinosaur.
Wait, so did Paul Chryst give us all his good decisions 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, you
pooped the bed against Northwestern.
There's like a certain genre of coach who, like, so Paul Chryst is like, yeah, we're going for it. I don't care. We're on our side of the ball. It's the first drive of the game,
which is the right call.
It is the right call. We're going for it. And then the next week, he is literally punting from the plus 36 on 4th and 4. It drives me nuts. And Ferentz does it every year. So that's part of it. And then the other part of it, you have to distinguish between Kinnick, Iowa, and Rhode Iowa.
Yeah.
And Michigan has gotten a lot of Kinnick, Iowa, and not a lot of Rhode Iowa. And this is going to be Rhode Iowa. So I feel like fairly comfortable that Michigan is going to win this game. But it really comes down to like,
wait a minute, stop the presses.
Last week
when I said this is 8-4 team. And that's if they don't improve significantly.
Yeah, this is an A-4
And some people said that was optimistic about this team. And the reason why they were saying that was optimistic is like, okay, they beat out. Did you say they would be less or
I said
worse
they
than
were
8-4?
They were an 8-4 team.
Okay, so then
this is probably one of the ones that they would win. And then
if they don't win this one, they're probably not an 8-4 team.
Right.
That's correct.
So, you know, we are a 3.5-point favorite in this. Now, the public has been pounding Iowa because it started out at well 7. More than that, 7.
So I think
but you mentioned their lack of pass rush, which I think is important for Shea. And then I think you are going to see Michigan reincorporate the read game, and their running will be on another level than it has been so far.
Yeah, we're going to learn in this game, how optimistic we should be about them being better than an 8-4 team. Like, you know, you kind of move your finish line here or there as the season goes along. So after Wisconsin, those of us who think they were a 1 or 2 loss team, probably a 4 loss team. After this game, if they show some real improvement, because this will be the gauge, a better gauge of how much improvement they've made. Then you can start to figure out, maybe they can go on the road and beat a Penn State.
I think the schedule worked out pretty well after Wisconsin because you get Rutgers, do your business, and then you get a step up against Iowa. And I'd be interested to see what the offensive schemes look like if they simplify it again, if they trust their wide receivers to get open against their secondary, which I think they can do.
Yeah, their secondary has been banged up, hasn't it? Iowa's. I think they've battled injuries all year long.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So,
but you know, like let's not go back to the complications and Shea pulling the ball down and doing that. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah, it'll be going around the Big Ten, guys. You know, watching that Michigan State Indiana game, Michigan State Ohio State coming up. The Michigan State defense regarded as one of the best in the country, and rightfully so. They had shown themselves to be very formidable, and this guy Michael Penix Jr. just where that it's like what
He shredded them. He had, what, 20 straight completions at one point?
He had 20 straight completions.
A lot of them were short and under, but they were, not all of them were, and they were good. They were good passes and had Michigan State completely flummoxed.
Yeah, and it's a game they should have won. He's going to hate. He's going to go back and replay in his head that bomb that he overthrew by a couple of yards.
There were like three of those, like right at the end of that game, mm-hmm. where he missed Hale, he missed Wap Fillier. And there was a third one.
I'm talking about the one with Fillier. Yeah, it was like, dude.
You had him. And that's something that I think Michigan can replicate, because that's, okay, their quarter's defense, so that means that you send the slot down the field vertically, and that guy converts into man coverage. And I want that guy in man coverage against Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, like, and then you had the was it a punt return or a kick return that they had?
Well, that changed.
It was a punt return.
That changed the game. They were ahead by three or four.
A couple silly penalties.
And they had the ball at the Michigan State 30, but instead there was a 60-yard penalty on that.
Yeah.
On that punt return, and that turned the game around. So.
Yeah, I came away saying, you know, I always thought Indiana was going to be tough because another team that plays Michigan really tough, but they're going to be better. They are better than we thought.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about Penix. Like, you know, when Jalen Ramsey was out there last week, they looked awful.
Not Peyton.
Not Jalen Ramsey. A little bit different. So when Peyton Ramsey was out there, it's just he's a dink and dunk guy with no athleticism who can't push the ball downfield. And obviously, Penix is not the same guy. So yeah. It comes down to their quarterback.
You guys give Michigan State any hope against the Buckeyes?
No.
Craig?
Slim.
Well, I'm interested to see how Ohio State does a step up against a better defense. So, I mean,
But that's definitely a no.
Well, no, I don't think Michigan State could win, but I also definitely didn't think they could win, 2 years ago, 4 years ago when they went down there without Cousins? Or not Cousins, the other one.
Connor Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one.
So,
let's real quick get Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, make it quick, man.
I am pumped up. I think we get two in a row. I'm picking Michigan to win 21-17, one game, one play, one moment at a time. When I say go, you say blue. Go!
Blue.
Go!
Blue.
It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. I'll hang up and listen, go blue. Win or lose, I'll hang up and listen, go blue.
Thanks a lot, Jake, as always. Appreciate it.